All right. Well, shalom and good morning. Good to see you. See a lot of new faces. Glad to be here, me and my wife. My daughter, she was going to come with us, but she had an opportunity to go out with the teens after church. So she really wanted to be with this friend because they were celebrating his birthday. So again, just want to thank you folks. You've been supporting us for so long, and it's such a blessing to know Pastor Wayne and Linda for all these years and just seeing what's gone on here. I remember when it was just part of this building and they just keep on adding, it just keeps on growing. So I'm really confused by that clock back there. It says it's 7:05. I know I haven't been up here that long. So, but hopefully, I see the time right there. It says 11:45. Okay, so it's on the printed. Yeah, that's much better. But me and my wife, we have been in New York City for like over 2 decades, and we've been reaching both Jew and Gentile with the wonderful gospel. You know, the wonderful thing is that I think for all of us that, you know, the world has come here to America, amen, and we can reach everyone. And, you know, I did not grow up Jewish. I grew up in a Catholic background, probably like many of you. And after I graduated from Eastern Michigan University with the art degree, I always wanted to live in New York City. When I was a little kid, I dreamed about moving to New York City. And so I moved to New York City in 1989. Okay, I was 24. So you put that all together, I'll be 60 this March. So how time flies. But it was in Queens, New York, that a lady handed me a gospel tract. Her family had moved here from Puerto Rico, and so I looked at the tract. It's at All Nations Bible Baptist Church. I said, how nice, you know, Baptists, nice people from the South. I didn't know anything about Baptists. And then I remembered the Waltons. I said, oh, they were Baptists. So I was like, so I went out to the church that night, and I heard these guys speak, and actually both of them, one is in New York City, the other one, he's a missionary in Maine, but I heard them preach, and that night I gave my life to the Lord. And then it wasn't long after that that I started listening to Christian radio, because you know how it is. When you first become a believer, you're so excited, you just can't get enough. I mean, whenever the church doors are open, you're there, Christian radio. So I heard this program called The Two Nice Jewish Boys, and it says, and Johnny became a Baptist and embarrassed the whole family in a real New York Yiddish accent. And I said, oh, wow, this is great. And so I learned how to share with Jewish people. You know, I was in a good church, so I was already, you know, learning how to reach other groups of people. But really, it, you know, working in the art field, I worked with a lot of Jewish people, and it just seemed like the Lord was bringing Jewish people into our path more than any other people. So that's really how my burden and my love for Israel grew, was through that. And my wife grew up in Mexico, and she moved here when she went to college, and she was called into Jewish work, you know, really young age. And, you know, her family always, and her papa always taught about the Jewish people, prophecy, and everything like that. So it was wonderful for her to grow up in such a home. And she had a art teacher in Cuernavaca, where she was from in Mexico, and she would share with them. It was really hard because, you know, all of her family are in mission service. Bruno and his wife, of course, are my wife's cousins, and I think you guys support them as well. So that's really neat, a small world. And so, you know, she really thought, like, you know, this is the family business, you know, everyone is a missionary, you know. But the Lord got a hold of her heart and called her, and it's just amazing. She thought she wanted to be in Israel, but the Lord redirected her to New York City, you know. So, and I'm glad about that. And so we've been serving there for many years, and your church has been supporting us for like 26 years, it must be at least. And so just so thankful for that. And I want to just go through a few of the, our mission, our leadership. They wanted to have a global outreach center in New York City. It's called the Lincoln House. And this Lincoln House will be used for, you know, teaching evangelism, how to share Messiah with the community there in New York. And the neat thing is that, why New York? I mean, there's 1.7 million Jewish people. It's only second to Tel Aviv. So New York is still one of the best places to reach. And one of the main reasons to have this home, you can see inside, is to host groups and interns. Hopefully, you folks at Haven Arrest can come down and stay there for a few days or more. I mean, we can hold up to like 14, so not everyone can come, right? But since you guys are so close, I mean, it only took us like an hour and a half to get here. You know, even if it was just families that came, you could learn how to share and witness. And, you know, the food is provided, lodging is very low cost. And, you know, get on the job training how to share Messiah and then go out on the streets of New York and share Messiah. It's a wonderful thing with both Jew and Gentile. You meet a lot of Muslims, Spanish speaking, and people from every other nation. It's just amazing. And then also, you know, the Northeast Corridor from Boston to Washington, D.C., you have over 3 million Jewish people. So the Northeast Corridor is so great. Israel today has a little bit more than 7 million Jewish people, and America has at least 8 million, okay? And so you have big cities like New York. You have, I mean, Florida alone has more Jewish people in the Miami area than even Jerusalem and Israel. So again, there's just Jewish people in every major city: Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles. I mean, you name the city. I mean, Detroit, even down south in the Carolinas, you know, in Raleigh. I mean, just it's just amazing. And you here in Connecticut, I mean, when I think of Hartford and other places, I mean, it's just amazing how many Jewish people are all around us, you know, our friends, our family, you know, different things. And so it's really, you know, important that I believe that we work with other local churches, because let's face it, you know, Boston to DC are like pretty much 3 to 4 hours for this area. So it makes it really nice to have this ministry center. But I want to invite your attention before we start. That's kind of like an overview of what we're doing now, and we're pretty much full time. And this coming, if you could pray, this coming week, our board comes to dedicate the new Lincoln House this Tuesday, and they're here till Thursday, so they'll be coming in, the board members, and we'll have a special day of dedication. But we've already had several groups come and stay at the house and go out on the streets, and then we've also had other people that are ambassadors and witnesses that have come to stay at the house. And now that one lady I think of, you know, she's reaching Arabic-speaking people, especially, you know, if you think about it, New York City has 75,000 Jewish people from Damascus, from Syria, from Damascus and Aleppo. And so it's the largest Syrian Jewish community, Arabic-speaking area in all the world, okay? And so what a great place if you speak Arabic. And so she has moved there. So we're just really excited about that. And so New York City, I mean, the opportunities are just amazing. But if you turn into Romans chapter 9, I want to share something with you. In Romans chapter 9, and then we'll have prayer. And then there's a lot of material. So hopefully, in your notes, you'll be able to take notes. A lot of the stuff is written out, so like scriptures and things like that. I think that, like we've heard today already in Sunday school, that brother did just a great job, and then just the music and just the memorization of scripture. I mean, praise the Lord, there's a home, a lighthouse like this here, right? And so I think it's so wonderful that there's Bible-believing churches all around. And I think, you know, learning all of this scripture, learning, having all this Bible knowledge, but the most important thing is to get the word out. Amen. And obviously, you folks see the need of reaching all people, and that's wonderful. But it says here in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, I mean, it's basically Israel's past, future, chapter 10, I mean, present, and then chapter 11, their future, okay? But I want to read chapter 9 and start in verse 1. I say the truth in Messiah, Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed for Messiah, for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory, the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Messiah came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your goodness and your love. And just bless us these next few minutes as I share how to share Messiah. I'm just so thankful for each one here today. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us just learn more about you. And just give us compassion to reach all people, the Jew first and also the Greek, to reach all people with this wonderful life-giving message. Someone told us, and we're in turn to go tell others. When you told us to go, it wasn't a suggestion. It is a command, so we go. And we're motivated by love and the Holy Spirit living inside us. We just ask for your help. So bless this time, and I pray for each one here, Lord, because probably many people in this room and even online have loved ones and family and friends that are Jewish and Gentile who need to hear the wonderful message. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that we have a message for this world. We have the truth. We have the words of eternal life. So just bless now as we look at these different aspects of how to be a better witness for Messiah. And we pray this all in Messiah Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in your notes, you see there, the first one, understanding Jewish identity, okay? Well, you know, when it comes to understanding identity, we have to realize that, I mean, you know, it was all to the Jewish people. I mean, they had to decide in the first century, can a non-Jewish person believe in Jesus without becoming Jewish first? I mean, today, people just think it's so strange that Jewish people are in a church, or especially if they're not believers. But it should be the most normal thing, because if Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, the most Jewish thing they can do is believe in him, right? And probably the main reason why Jewish people don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, because there's no shalom, there's no peace now. And of course, we know from the scriptures that Messiah had to come and give his life first. He is coming one day to bring peace, not only to Israel, but the whole world, okay? Because God loves the whole world, and we see that one day his name will be one. We read that in Zechariah 12. But it says here that Paul, we know the Apostle Paul here, he was Jewish, and he went around persecuting the Jewish believers in Jesus, okay? And he treated them so badly. I mean, think of the first Jewish martyr whose faith was in Yeshua, in Jesus, Stephen. He was being stoned to death. You know that affected Paul. And again, it started out with the Jewish people. I mean, the Holy Spirit was given on Shavuot, the Jewish holiday. You know, I mean, it's just amazing how God used the Jewish people to be a blessing to the world. We read that in Genesis 12. You know, I will bless those that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all nations be blessed. We are blessed by Israel and by the Jewish people, because we have the Jewish Messiah, the God of Israel. Amen. And so it's our privilege to be able to share with the world this wonderful news. And you know, when I think of culture and upbringing, you know, the Jewish people are very satisfied and very happy with being Jewish. They have, for the most part, they have no intention of stop being Jewish. And of course, they don't have to stop being Jewish. A Jewish person will always be Jewish, just like you and I, as non-Jewish. We're always going to be non-Jewish. Be happy with how God made you. Amen. Because he loves us all. We don't have to be Jewish. We, you know, if we're Gentile and vice versa. And when I think about Romans chapter 2, I love this because it clearly speaks about how what the Jewish people really need, what is important. Sorry, I have to keep on putting it on my glasses. My Bible, the print is a little small. But it says here in chapter 2 of Romans, it says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward of the flesh. But listen to what it's talking when it comes to Jewish believers, okay, that have put their trust and faith in Jesus. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart and spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Wow. I mean, that reminds me of that Jewish guy in John chapter 9. Remember, he was born blind. His parents said, "We know this is our son. How he sees, we don't know. Ask him," because they were fearful, because they were going to be kicked out of the synagogue. I mean, that was to be excommunicated from the community? Who wants that? Israel, even today, I mean, among the Jewish people, it's a shame, honor, culture. Some of you know that because of the places you come from or whatever, a shame, honor, culture. I mean, you bring shame on the whole family because you believe in that man. That's what they say. Wow. But Jewish people are very, very satisfied with how they're Jewish, their upbringing, their culture. They have a rich history. You know, I mean, I think it was Disraeli when he was, you know, there in Parliament in England, you know, he was the prime minister, Disraeli, when he got up to speak, I mean, they were, you know, saying terrible things, you know, because he was Jewish and all this other stuff. He said, "Listen, while your relatives and your descendants were running around naked in England picking up acorns, my people were worshiping the one true God," you know, so don't make fun of us. You know, we're God's people. And, you know, again, I just want to make, first of all, you know, we don't condone everything Israel does or whatever like that. It's not about that. And I think that every secular government, I mean, we're to pray for our leaders. I hope you're praying for our leaders. Amen. You know, our local leaders. I mean, we're told to in the scripture. But again, we're not going to find hope in the political reign. We're going to find hope in Messiah. And that's the message that we share. And so there's differences in tradition, ultra-Orthodox, okay? You have the more Orthodox they are, conservative, Reform, Kabbalists, you know, Kabbalah, and more. Most Jewish people, from when I'm talking to them, they're kind of concerned about tikkun olam, repairing the world, making the world a better place to live. And that's good to some degree, right? Because we want to make things better. I mean, Jewish people, their name are always on lists of giving, you know, to charitable causes, hospitals. You know, I remember talking to a lot of Jewish people. They say, "Oh, I give to the Salvation." They even give to Christian organizations. I mean, it's amazing, you know. But tikkun olam, repairing the world. And so these are all good. And sometimes, I don't know if you have them here, but the ultra-Orthodox there, they usually on certain days, like on Friday afternoon, they usually set up a table. And as you pass by, they ask you, "Are you Jewish? Are you Jewish?" And if you say yes, they want to put tefillin on you and they want to have prayers and stuff. They want you to do a mitzvah, because in the Kabbalah, the idea of doing a mitzvah, a good work, sends sparks to heaven, which in turn God sees that. And the more goodness, the more righteous a community becomes, then maybe at that time, God will send Moshiach when people are ready for him, when they're good enough for him. Folks, we're never going to be good enough. This world, things are not getting better. They're getting worse. Things are not getting better. And it's just so sad. You know, it sounds like a good idea, but again, it's not based on scripture. And I think how I was brought up in one religion system, going to another people with a religious system, you know, it has some Bible, some truth, but again, it's more, it's just about tradition and things. And it's mixed with like Greek philosophy and just things that basically teach that, you know, yeah, God, we believe God created this world. He started everything, but now it's up to us to finish it and do the best we can with it. But that's not how it is. You know, that's not what the scriptures teach, okay? And then, you know, what connects Jewish people together? Well, you have Israel, especially, you know, with especially with the war a couple of years ago on Simchat Torah, the rejoicing, you know, of the law. They celebrate, they throw candy in the streets as they parade and they dance around the streets with the Torah scrolls. I remember one time I was in the synagogue when they were taking the Torah around and people were taking their siddurs. It's like a prayer book. If you grew up Catholic, you know what I mean, because like we had the missal. We'd kiss it, they would kiss it, and then they would touch the Torah scrolls. But I'm like, why aren't we opening the Torah? Why aren't we reading what it says in the Torah? And a lot of times they're just speaking in Hebrew, so they don't know what's being said. So again, you know, it's just like me before I was a believer. I remember when I was in college, I was just about to graduate and soon moved to New York. A friend of mine gave me a Bible. And you know what? As a Catholic, I believed it was God's word, but I had no desire to read it or anything. I just put it with all my other belongings. But I did bring it to New York, and it was that Bible I started reading, and I took to Mass, started reading it. It wasn't long after that that Elma handed me the tract, and I went out to the church. But she remembers I said, hey, listen, I'm Catholic. I'm not interested in converting, you know. But praise the Lord, God had other plans for me that night, because that day I was ready at that point when the guy was preaching and saying, do you want to know you have eternal life, you know, because you couldn't know that in my former faith. So I was just like, I was ready. I just needed someone to show me what the scripture said and just to have love. And you know what, folks, it all comes down to that with our Jewish friends too. Like 99% of the Jewish people who say they come to know Mashiach, Jesus, as their Messiah, it's through non-Jewish people who show love and compassion, and they see the truth in you. They see something different. It's not fake, you know. They see something real, and that's what it's about. They see something different. And you know, isn't that what we're supposed to do, the hope that's within us? I mean, people ask, and we're to be there when they do. And so we need to be good examples. But what connects the Jewish people? There's Israel. Anti-Semitism. I mean, there's so much hate for the Jewish people. I mean, if there's ever a problem, oh, it's the Jewish people. I mean, this I believe is satanic. It's wicked and evil. Okay? The Holocaust. Also, Torah and tradition, that's so important to the Jewish people. They love tradition. You know, one, they always joke, you know, this one Jewish guy, he said, I looked at other religions, but I came back to Judaism because, you know, none of those other religions, they have all the holidays. I mean, we eat, we have a good time. You know, they tried to, you know, whoever they were, they tried to kill us and they failed. So let's eat and celebrate. That's what they do at Passover, Purim, all these Jewish holidays, you know. They try to be eliminated, but they celebrate. But the Jewish people have a rich culture, and I think sometimes they believe like, oh, I gotta, you know, you can be a Buddhist and believe in Jesus. They call them Bujus, but anyways, they can be Buddhist, they can be everything else. But as soon as you believe in Jesus, you're no longer Jewish. It makes no sense. You look in the New Covenant, the New Testament, right? All through the whole thing. That was never an issue. You never see Paul or any of the apostles, disciples, their father. I mean, it was never. Yes, they talked a lot about non-Jews coming into faith and stuff, but the Jewish people were never questioned for their Jewishness. A Jewish person always stays Jewish, but are they born again? Are they a Jew born anew? That's the important thing. Are we Gentiles born anew? Okay? Because none of us are born believers. We have to accept and trust him. And then, of course, there's history that brings the Jewish people. They have a rich history, a wonderful history. And then, of course, opinions. Our Jewish friends have their opinions. I mean, one of the things I like about Jewish people, they're right up front. When I have book tables on the street in New York, boy, they have their opinions, and they want to know why you're here, why you're here trying to share Jesus. They sometimes say, why did you make one of ours your God or a God? I'm like, let's go. Let's see what the Torah says. Let's see what the Hebrew scriptures say, you know? And of course, sometimes it's a little hard because as believers, you know, we need to be prepared to share Messiah with the Jewish people. And learning about Jewish beliefs and culture, it is going to help us and make our witness more effective. But at the same time, we have to realize that the Jewish people, yes, they have the Torah, they have the prophets, they have the writings, they call it the Tanakh, Okay, that's their whole scripture. We call it the Old Testament. They call it the Tanakh. And in that Tanakh, okay, in that scripture, if we read that to them and ask them at plain view, who do you think this is speaking about, whether it's Moses in chapter 18 talking about a prophet like him that's going to come, or we also have Isaiah 53. They're going to want to consult, well, what does the rabbi say? Or what do the sages of old have to say? They won't read it at face value because they believe, that it needs to be understood and, looked under the microscope, by someone who's learned. They just won't take it at face value. But I mean, again, if you talk to people right away, they're like, wow, this sounds like Jesus. Are you showing me the New Testament? You go, no, this is from your own scripture. So it's pretty amazing. So two, sharing God's plan for redemption. I mean, understanding the Tanakh, again, Old Testament helps, sharing the gospel. Leviticus 23, all the feasts from Passover, redemption, the blood. Remember, they had the blood on the doorpost. That each family for several days had to take a lamb, bring it into its house and be inspected. Isn't that what Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, he was inspected during that week? And, finally on Palm Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then the following week he was crucified, and John the Baptist was a priest. He could have said many things, but behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, you can use stories from these wonderful pictures of redemption, or Purim. Remember Queen Esther? She, Mordecai says, listen, you don't say anything. God is going to deliver the Jewish people, but for such a time as this, you're here now. If you don't say anything, don't think that you're going to escape. You're gonna die. And what did she do? Okay, she told her maid to fast, pray. She goes, I go unto the king, and according to Persian law, you just couldn't walk in. She couldn't even walk and even talk to her own husband, but she prayed and they fasted and she went. And it all comes down to she was able to keep her people from being annihilated. And she didn't have to give her life. But one day the Jewish Messiah would come and give his life for the Jewish people, and he did. And even a greater deliverance. How wonderful is that? But all the holidays, Shavuot, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and of course we know in chapter 2 of Acts, the Jewish people believe that's when Moses gave the Ten Commandments, the law. I mean, during Shavuot, during Pentecost, we can ask our Jewish friends, how are you doing at keeping the Ten Commandments? Do you always put God first? Do you always keep the Sabbath? Remember, a guy just picking up sticks on the Sabbath, he was stoned to death. That's probably one of the best ways to share and witness to your Jewish or Catholic friend. Just go through the Ten Commandments, even your Muslim friends, and just go through the Ten Commandments. For me, I use the, you shouldn't make any graven images with my Catholic friends. And they're like, wow, I'll have to ask the priest about that. I said, yes, you should. Yeah, do that. That is so important. But again, understanding those wonderful God's covenants with Abraham, all of them, the land promise, just all these different things and holidays. And you can use those to speak to your Jewish friends about Messiah. And then, of course, people like Joseph and Moses. I mean, look at Joseph. His brothers are jealous of him. They basically, they make it look like he's dead, but they rejected him. And then he goes down to Egypt, and eventually he saves them. And remember, his brothers, they didn't think he was real. They just were like, oh, as soon as dad is gone, he's going to kill us. But he, cried. He had compassion. And we know that when he revealed himself finally, the first time they rejected him, but the second time they received him. What a picture of what Jesus Messiah did, right? Same with Moses. Look at how Pharaoh wanted all the males dead. Look at when Jesus was born. Herod wanted him dead. Again, you can see so many things. And we read the book of Hebrews in the New Testament written to Jewish people to don't worry about, the temple, the sacrifice, the priesthood. That's soon going to be gone. Something much greater is coming. Messiah is here, the reality. It was a foreshadow, all the sacrifices and everything. Because under the old covenant, Leviticus 17:11, which is a great verse to memorize, through Leviticus 17:11, all that is so important because without blood, there's no covering. And we read in the book of Hebrews that Messiah, once and for all, his blood sacrifice covers and gives us eternal redemption. Not so in the Old Testament. It was Yom Kippur. It was just a covering, a temporary covering. It had to be done every year. And today it's just tradition. And so when we can go to our Jewish friends and say, but where is the blood? You had a sacrificial system. You know, and it does say in Hosea chapter 3 that Israel will abide many days without a sacrifice, without a temple, without a priest, but one day they'll return to the Lord. You know, their partial blindness, they've been set aside as a nation, but praise the Lord, many Jewish people are coming to know Messiah. Amen. Why would we give and go and try to share our faith with Messiah, with Jewish friends, if we didn't think they could come to know him? It even says, like in Romans chapter 5, it says, even so then at this present time also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace then it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. This is found in Romans 11 and verses 5 and 6. Romans 11 verses 5 and 6. Wow. And it says here in verse 11, you go down to verse 11 of that same chapter. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, because that's the majority of us who believe in Yeshua, in Jesus, right? To provoke them to jealousy, not in a bad way, but a good way. Because we have the God of Israel, we have Mashiach, we have Messiah. And so we're to provoke them to jealousy. Wow. How wonderful is that? We have the awesome opportunity to give the good news to people. But the new covenant, Israel's future. I mean, again, focus on the big picture, because one day coming, I mean, I don't know if it motivates you, but when I think about what Israel is going to go through during the tribulation, and I'm sure your pastors have told you much about that, but the amount of Jewish people that will perish during that time. I've even talked to Jewish people. I said, there's prophecy about how, and they even talk about it too. Like me and my wife were talking as we were driving here, that she was talking to a Jewish rabbi's wife, and like every 70 years or so, anti-Semitism sticks up its ugly head. But we know what it says in the Torah, you know, as long as the Jewish people live out in the diaspora, they're not following the God of Israel, they're going to suffer no matter where they live. God says that you will have no peace, no surety of life. I'm going to burn you with fire. I'm going to make it so it's miserable for you. Can you imagine? Because they wouldn't obey the Torah. Even in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, I mean, that's really in 70 AD. I mean, think about it. That's when Judaism, rabbinic Judaism, really began, because they started teaching now through good deeds, through charity, you know, giving to causes, you know, and teshuva or repentance, you know, just praying heartfully to God. And those things are all good, but they don't get you to heaven. That's why the change, you know? God loves his people. He wants them to know him. And then thirdly, overcoming barriers to the Jewish community and engagement. You know, Christian history, anti-Semitism, religious persecution, massacres, pogroms, the Inquisition, Martin Luther, the Reformers, so many of, I mean, Martin Luther, for example, he wrote a page on the Jews and their lies, this tract written in like the 1500s, and he basically said, destroy their synagogues, burn them, take their Talmuds, okay, and burn them, because there's lies and filth and cursing. And it is true in the Talmud, and in and really just for you that don't know what the Talmud is, the Jewish people believe that Moses not only received the Torah, the five books of Moses, but they also received the oral Torah, the oral by word of mouth, okay, from God. This is what they believe, even though it says over and over, and I think the brother who did the Bible study today said this, that all the words were written in the book. There wasn't anything Moses said or taught that wasn't from this book that he didn't already write down. There's nothing to be added to it. But time and time again, that is what the Jewish people have done. They have added to it. And that's man-made religion. I think of even in Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." You can't pick and choose. God said, "Cursed be all those that don't keep the commandments." Wow. It's unbelievable. And Martin Luther, when he said that their Talmud should be burned, I mean, I'm sure that when people converted to Roman Catholicism from a Jewish background, they may be told of the terrible things it does say in the Talmud about Messiah. One of the stories, you know, about they sought a soothsayer, a Jewish person who, like, would conjure up people from the dead, and they wanted to know what was happening. Okay, and one of the Jewish traditions from the Todot Yeshua, it's actually not part, it's one of the other type of writings. It's kind of like the Talmud. I don't think this one is actually from the Talmud, but it's one of the Jewish writings that circulate, because I've heard it from Jewish people, especially from Eastern Europe, that they ask, you know, what is happening to Jesus now? Where is he? And the soothsayer said that he said that he was boiling in his excrement. So this was what Jesus was saying. So you can imagine how that would inflame and make, you know, so-called Christian people angry. I mean, I'm sure you've had people say negative and terrible things about you, and you tried to share your faith, maybe family. But again, that gives no one a reason to hurt and kill or hate someone. We're to love our enemies. No believer, you know, should follow. But because of what Luther said, I mean, even in the Nuremberg trials, you know, the Nazis used what Martin Luther said to justify what they did to the Jewish people in Germany and all over Europe when they killed 6 million Jews. So the Jewish people, I mean, from the very beginning, it seems, you know, from like 135 AD to present, they have just suffered under so-called Christians. The number one group that has persecuted them and treated them so terribly has been not Muslims or any other group, but so-called Christians. So see what we're up against? And of course, it's Satan, because he doesn't want Jesus' name to be a positive thing among the Jewish people. That's why a lot of times you hear me say Messiah, Jesus is okay, but the Jewish people have always been accused of being Christ killers, so it's better just to use the word Messiah, because they know what a Messiah is. A Messiah is coming for them. Like I said, they believe in every generation Messiah is present, but only when the Jewish people are ready and ready for him and good enough will he come. And so we know who he is, so we should be going. And, you know, the good thing is, when you go, if you ever go door knocking or talk to a Jew, you knock on their door, you'll see the little box on their doorposts, even their businesses, the mezuzah. As soon as they open up, you can say, "Hey, shalom, can I share with you about someone Jewish who changed my life?" Or you could say, "A rabbi who changed my life," because Jesus wasn't known as a rabbi. And they say, "Really? A rabbi? Tell me about this." You know, the Jewish person will be real excited, you know. Of course, maybe when you say it's Jesus, their demeanor might change a little bit. But they'll probably say, "Oh, that's cute. That's really cute," you know. But again, you know, we need to have that compassion to go to them. But, you know, the Holocaust, all of these things have just things that have really, they've used as excuses. And then also modern anti-Semitism in Israel, Zionism, it's really misunderstood, okay? Anti-Zionism, you know, from the river to the sea, you know, Palestine will be free. You know, just all these chants and things. And it's just so sad what's going on today. And the media doesn't help. And again, it's so sad. And my heart goes out to the Jewish people. But lastly, you know, the new covenant was written to the Jewish people and fulfills God's promises to them. Look in Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, and I'm getting really close to closing, so I thank you for your patience. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, it says here, "But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry
by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant, the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second, the Brit HaLashon, the new covenant. For finding fault with them, the Jewish people, the nation, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant, Brit HaLashon, with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. So who was the new covenant even promised to and yet to be future fulfilled in the Jewish people? That's what, it's still the yet to be fulfilled, because the majority of Jewish people still don't believe. Today they say maybe about a little under half a million Jewish people believe in Messiah. When Israel became a nation, there was maybe 30 Jewish families that believed in Yeshua. Today, over 20,000 and over 500 congregations in all of Israel where Jews are worshiping Jesus as their Messiah and Lord. It's wonderful. But it says here in verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand, led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel and with Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They're going to have a born-again experience. The Holy Spirit will come into live. They'll be born again. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. If that, he saith, a new covenant, Brit HaLashon, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. I will remember no more. See, Yom Kippur, it's a memory every year. In the old covenant, in the Tanakh, Yom Kippur, every year it had to be the same thing, animal sacrifice. But now in Messiah, we have eternal. Wow, this is good news for the Jewish people. And it's all written in the book of Hebrews, what was written to them. Don't stay in Judaism. Now your Mashiach, your Messiah has come. Go with Messiah. So look at what we have to share with the Jewish people. It's wonderful. So overcoming barriers in the Jewish community engagement. We have a Bible filled with rich things that we need to let them know about and understand. And then here, number four, lastly, welcoming and impacting the Jewish people as a local church. You here at Haven of Rest, look at what it says in Ephesians. And then we'll do the closing in Ephesians. I remember when I was pastoring, some of my favorite words. Just one more scripture. I'm closing now, and then I do one more. In verse 11 of chapter 2, wherefore remember that being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants, the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was our lot as Gentiles, amen, you know? But now in Messiah Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, we Gentiles, are made nigh by the blood of Messiah, amen? And we sang about the blood today, amen? Listen to this, verse 14. For he is our peace, who's made both one and broken down that middle wall of partition between us. In the Bible, or in the temple, I should say, the mechitza, it was like a barrier. Gentiles, there was even a sign, if you're a Gentile, don't go past this. That's what it said in the temple. I mean, there you could only go so far. And isn't it wonderful when Messiah died, the veil in temple from top to bottom is rent, and now we have access to the Holy of Holies. We go directly to God. He's our high priest, amen? I mean, how wonderful is that? No middleman. And that's one of the things they say, my Jewish friends, they say, we go to God. We don't need a mediator. I said, I don't know what Tanakh you're reading, but all through the Tanakh, that's all you wouldn't even be here. Moses was promised, you know, three times, I believe, that, you know, I'm going to destroy this people and make you a new nation. But they interceded and they were mediators for you. You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for mediators. Wow, and we know Jesus, the Messiah, is the mediator, amen? But it says, for he is our peace, who's made both one, Jew and Gentile, one, and have abolished the flesh, the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. One man, Jew and Gentile, both worshiping Messiah in the local church, amen? We're missing out on so many blessings, not having Jewish people in our churches. I mean, it's so important that we reach them. There was even a pastor one day, he was having an outreach evangelism, and they had a big map with the whole town, and there was a big X on one part of town. He's like, we're here to evangelize. Why is there an X over there? He goes, oh, we can't go there. He goes, why can't you go there? Because they're Jewish. What? I mean, that's anti-Semitic, you ask me. We're not going to share the good news. I might not be so smart to go on a Shabbat like Friday night, Saturday, but no, I'm sorry. We are told the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to all people. We're to go. And so here, it says here, verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Wow. So welcoming and impacting Jewish people through the local church. What the scriptures teach on reaching Jewish people. I mean, just look at the book of Acts. Paul and Peter, all they would go into the synagogue when they didn't want to hear it anymore. They went to the Gentiles. The next city, what did they do? They went to the Jewish people again. I mean, the Jewish people, they would have had a ready audience, okay? They were reading the Torah, they were reading the prophets, and it would be easy. Look, that's speaking about Messiah. Even Jesus, when he was given the Torah scroll, he said, this day it's fulfilled in your ears, you know, when he was in Capernaum and different places. And it's interesting because at Hebrew University, scholars say the first place where it's proven that the Jewish people, because throughout the whole year, that's why on Simchat Torah they start reading Book of Genesis again. The whole year they have like 54 portions of the Torah and Haftarah that they read from the five books of Moses and the prophets, okay? And isn't it interesting, during the high holy days that it just before, during the season of Yom Kippur, they stop at Isaiah 52, verse 12, and then the next Shabbat, they start with Isaiah 54. Why? Because Isaiah 53 has caused so many Jewish people to come to know Mashiach, to know their Messiah. But it's in their synagogue. I've been to synagogue. I've seen it. It's in there. It's in their Torah scrolls. But it's so wonderful if you and I can take the scriptures, take Isaiah 53 and say, please read this, and let them read it to you out loud. It's wonderful. We need to teach the scriptures, okay, and share with them. And how to engage the Jewish community. I mean, our congregation, every year we have an Honor Israel Day at our church, and we're just thanking the Jewish people for giving us the belief in the one true God. God used majority of Jewish people to write the scriptures, and then of course they gave us Jesus the Messiah. So we have that special day at our congregation. The first time we had it, I think we had like 50 visitors, and almost all of them were Jewish. And it was just amazing. And I remember some dear friends of mine, they said they're coming, but they're sitting in the very back because if we start forcing conversion, they're going to be out of there. I'm like, forcing conversion? I'm like, after like 2,000 years you've been sharing with Messiah, you think in 1 hour I'm going to convince you and force you to believe. But see, that's their fear. And not only that, they're not even used to a believer inviting them to a congregation. You know, it might be nice, you know, you tell your pastor, you know, like, so they know if you're inviting someone, you know, even from a Muslim background, because it's always good to be prepared. But every Jewish person should feel comfortable here, because we are the family of God, amen? The Jewish people have a word for that, mishpacha, okay? And that's like family, people who are close, people who love one another. And they should know and feel that love when they come in those doors, amen? I'm kind of talking to a choir because you guys are a very friendly church. And I know why, because of Pastor and Sister Linda. You guys have a wonderful pastor and his wife. I'm just so thankful for that. But how wonderful that we can minister to Jewish people in the local church. At our church, too, we had like a Friends of Israel Sunday school class. And, of course, most of the people who were part of that class weren't even Jewish, but they wanted to get together. We would pray for Israel. We would look at a lot of prophecy. But basically, it was to really keep before the church the need to include them in our program to reach the lost and reach the world. And so we did whatever we could. And then also like discipleship, you know, like a lot of times when I was pastoring, a lot of my discipleship was geared to like either from Catholic background or Jewish background, because those were the majority of the people in New York and in our church, you know. It was kind of neat because I remember this one lady, a Jewish lady, she, as far as I know, she never accepted Messiah. But I remember she coming into our congregation, she was looking around, she goes, "All I see are Jews here. Aren't there any non-Jews here?" You know, I was like, well, that was good that she said that about our church, but there were plenty of Gentiles, okay? But, you know, we had a lot of our Jewish friends, but, I mean, just ministering to them, yes, it takes time, and the Jewish people aren't just knocking down the doors to get in, but folks, let me tell you this in closing. The Jewish people, they are so open now. When we have book tables and we're out on the street in New York City, it's the Jewish people that are coming, taking Bibles, taking New Testaments. I even gave pastors some New Testaments. So if any of you have Jewish friends or family or loved ones you want to give a new covenant to, they're really beautiful. They have a picture of the 12 tribes on it. It's in Hebrew on one side and English on the other side. I mean, they're beautiful to give. And if you guys need more, we can get those to you because they're free of charges. As long as you give them to Jewish people, you can even give away the Tanakh. There's also little prophecy editions of, you know, prophecies of Messiah in Hebrew and English or Russian in Hebrew, you know. So we can get you those things. You just let me know. But there are just so many Jewish people. They are just willing to talk, and they want to know, why are you out here? Why are you giving out these Bibles? What's behind all of this? You're not charging any money. And I'll tell you, they just make it so easy to share the complete gospel with them. And if you come up to New York and you come to stay at the ministry house, you'll see that when we go out on the street, after we learn and do studying and different things like that, we'll go out on the street in Brooklyn, Queens, and we'll, you know, implement what we learn. And then you can come back here to Connecticut and do the same thing and bring in Jewish friends and family into this congregation. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I know Pastor and Linda would love that. And how wonderful is that? I mean, it's just great. And then lastly, I mean, instead we always go the Romans road, right? But for our Jewish friends, we need to go the road of Zion, all right? Okay, the Jerusalem road. We know all are sinners. You have all the verses there. I remember showing my one friend Isaiah 51:5, you know, and sin to my mother conceived me. He goes, I can't believe that. That's what King, because Jewish people are not told that they're born sinners. Okay, they don't believe you're born sinful. You're born with a good inclination or a bad inclination. You just let one take over. But to believe that you're just born a sinner and condemn, absolutely, that has no place in Jewish thinking. So again, because you just got to get to the Bible and show them from the scripture and show them examples. And then also, you know, good works won't save. You know, Jewish people, they want to do a mitzvah. If you do something nice to it for a Jewish person, sometimes they'll say, "Oh, you're so good. You know, you do a mitzvah." That means just a good deed. Okay? And they hope that, you know, you're like on Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they hope their mitzvahs, they hope their good deeds outweigh their bad, so they can be written in the book of life the coming year. It's not even about heaven or anything like that. No, just for the coming year, because they believe that God judges the whole world. Okay, and he judges the world, and so and the Gentiles, I mean, the real religious, so they go around asking, you know, "Are you Jewish?" And they want you to put on tefillah. If you say, "No, I'm a Gentile," then they hand you usually a little card with Menachem Schneerson, the rabbi in Brooklyn, and it says the 7 Noahide laws. So you as a Gentile, if you follow these 7 Noahide laws, you too will have a place in Olam Haba, the world to come. But there's no backing for that, no understand. I mean, it's just their tradition, being good. It's all about doing good works, and we see that in the scripture, right? They, you know, their own righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness by doing works of the law, and really, that's all about. And of course, a blood sacrifice is required, again, and to remove sin. Okay, covering for sin. And we see that all throughout Isaiah 53, the Old Testament, even the New Testament, that we have total remission, forgiveness of sin through Messiah. The Jewish people, they have no clue. They say, I talk to Jewish people all the time, and even our Catholic friends, and you who come from a Catholic background, you know it was the sin of presumption to think that you could go to heaven. I remember when I got saved, I had my Catholic Bible, and I remember reading the verse in 1 John 5:13, it says, you may know you have eternal life. I was like, wow. And then I saw in parentheses, it says, but you may not know. I said, what? It says there, it says you may know, and then the church, the Catholic Church put in there in the parentheses. And you know what? I got so mad, I threw away that Bible. I wish I had it today so I had proof that that's what it said, but I remember that. I mean, unbelievable. People have no idea. And then who is Messiah? He was born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem. His goings forth from old to everlasting, Olam again. I mean, he was not just a good, he would be God. Several times in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, in Isaiah 9:6, I mean, he's known as the Son. He's God in the flesh. Okay? Punished for our sin. He came at the appointed time, Daniel 9. He came before the destruction of the temple. That was before 70 AD. So whoever the Messiah come, whenever he came, he had to come before the destruction in 70 AD. And we have a great track on that. When will Messiah come? He was resurrected. I mean, Psalm 16:10, that's reiterated even on the day of Pentecost. It was interesting because it says that David, not only did he die on Pentecost, but he was raised on Pentecost. And they use that verse talking about the resurrection and even Messiah fulfilling that on Pentecost. You know, again, the Jewish holidays are just amazing. You know? He is Jesus. And then Isaiah 9:6, Hebrews 10:14. And salvation comes by faith. I think there's one more. Salvation comes by faith. You know, Abraham believed God. It was counted for righteousness. It says in Psalm 2, all about the Son of God. You know? It says, all who kiss the Son, okay, and trust in Him. We know we're only to trust in God, but here it says, kiss the Son, pay homage to the Son. Again, even the scriptures, it talks about putting trust and faith in God. And that's what the people of Israel did. The salvation in the Old Testament is same as in the New Covenant. Amen? And we have that. And then three questions. I challenge you. When you have the wonderful opportunity of sharing with Jewish people and talking to them about their Messiah, and they seem open and receptive, these are great questions. If I could show you evidence that Jesus is the Messiah, would you consider it? And see what they say. Ask questions, not just yes and no things, okay? Ask questions. Two, is there any one thing that keeps you from coming to faith in Jesus as Messiah? I mean, it could be so many things. Family, a spouse that isn't a believer. I mean, I don't know. But they will tell you. They're afraid because they are told if you leave, they're even taught by their rabbis, if they leave rabbinic Judaism, they lose their soul. They scare them. And like I said, that they conjured up that those evil spirits, what's happening to Jesus, he's boiling in flesh. You know, in the Talmud, from my understanding and what I've heard from reading about different things that are a lot reliable, it says that there's even places where it says, if you don't obey the rabbis, you will not have a place in the world to come, but you will also boil and burn in your excrement. Can you imagine? This is teaching. I mean, unbelievable, the fear that they are under. And then lastly, would you like to trust Messiah Jesus now to have forgiveness and eternal life? Because they really don't know. To tell you the truth, most of my Jewish friends, a lot of them, Joy and I, we spent many years, over 20 years with several of our friends, and from our understanding, they have never made a profession of faith. We've been able to talk to them and share with them everything, but, you know, we still love them. Even if they don't believe in Jesus the Messiah, we're still their friends. We're still there. We still share Messiah. It takes think about all the things that I said today, all the history, the persecution, Christians being the number one group that have persecuted them. There's just so much baggage. And just because I told you a lot of these things, every Jewish person is different. They don't have set doctrine. They don't have, like, teaching. You and I, we believe that this is inerrant. We believe what's in this book. We believe it's perfect, you know. Study the shelf, show yourself approved, right? We believe, like, this word is everything. We believe in absolutes. I mean, the virgin birth, that Jesus is equal with the Father. We believe in the triune God. I mean, it's all in the Tanakh, too. But, again, you know, we believe this book. And it's going to be in opposition with our friends, our Jewish friends, because they're really, unfortunately, they're not a people of the book anymore. Yes, on Simchat Torah, the parade with the Torah scrolls, but they're not opening them. They don't know what they say about Messiah. You and I do. You and I know so much of the Bible. You might be the only Bible that they even read by seeing your life and how you act out, showing love and compassion for them. So praise the Lord for that. So will we act? Will we do? Will you come down to New York sometime to be trained? I hope a little bit what I said today will help you in your witnessing and sharing and just having compassion for Israel and the Jewish people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you again for Haven of Rest. I thank you that each person here, Lord, I don't know where they are in their spiritual journey and walk. If I don't know if there's a visitor here today and they don't know you as Messiah, but I pray as Pastor Wayne comes and closes, I pray that you will just work and touch their lives and their hearts, that you would just encourage them. And then maybe there's people here today that said, wow, I have Jewish loved ones and friends, and I really haven't shared with them. I'll start praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I'll start praying about witnessing to my family, my Jewish family, my Jewish friends, maybe some professional worker or someone that you know who's Jewish that you see on a regular basis. But Lord, help me extend an invitation to them. Help me send a holiday card, whether it's for Hanukkah or whatever, and just put a gospel witness in there. Help me reach the Jewish people here in Connecticut. And Lord, we do pray for this Northeast corridor. There's so many Jewish people from Boston all the way down to D.C. and everything in between. Help us reach the 3 million that live like 4 hours from this area. Help us, Lord. And we're just so thankful, Lord, because when you were there in Jerusalem, you looked out and you had such compassion, rachamim, for your people. And Lord, how you said over and over how they were like sheep without a shepherd. Heavenly Father, help us realize that we're to take the good news of the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Help us be a witness. Even if we don't reach the Jewish person first, help us reach them second, third, or fourth. But help us reach them, because without the gospel of Messiah Jesus, no one can have eternal life or heaven. He's the only way. He's the truth. So bless the rest of this day and bless each one here. And thank you for Haven of Rest. Thank you for Pastor Wayne. Thank you for Miss Linda and all the dear people here. Bless them and use them in a mighty way. And thank you again for this lighthouse here in Connecticut. And we pray this all in Messiah's name. Amen.
Amen.